Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. Let us cross our... Let us thank our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we have come together this evening afternoon and want to bring our humble thanks to you for all your gifts. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of life. You are the giver of life and the taker of life. Without your will, there is no new life on this earth, and no life will be taken away without your will either. We also thank for the gift of health, but also thank for tribulation and illness. We know that you, Heavenly Father, you have many ways of keeping your children in your kingdom. We thank for our dear fatherland. And that we can gather here this evening freely to hear your holy word. And the protection and care of this society. And even today, the highest thanks from us is in what you've prepared for us in your dear Son, this perfect righteousness, which is acceptable to your Lord before you. From our own part, we would have nothing to bring to you, but only due to the merit work of Christ. We thank for this kingdom which you have lowered onto this earth, in which you care for us and in which you carry us. And we ask, as we quieten in front of your holy word and start to examine it, we ask that you would be, according to your promise, with us at these services through your Holy Spirit in our midst. Be, Heavenly Father, opening up your word as much as you know we need today. And we request that you would be inviting through your holy word and the gospel, you'd be inviting those people walking in the night of unbelief, and that you'd be comforting us with this gospel, with this bread of life. This is the kind of nourishment we need. Come and bless our services. This is what we ask. In the name of your dear Son, Jesus. Amen. As the introduction for this sermon, I thought to read from Second Book of Kings, from its fifth chapter, from verse 1. To 15. This is one of the texts that has been marked for this Sunday from the Old Testament. I shall read this portion of God's word in Jesus' name. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria was a great man with his master, and honorable because of him Jehovah had given victory unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out in bands and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maiden, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, then would he recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maiden that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? But consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent the clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Jehovah his God and wave his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not the rivers of Damascus, Abana and Pharpar, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then he went down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a present of thy servant. Amen." We heard a lengthy portion of God's word. This text is from the book of Kings, in which were the captain of an army of the king of Syria was healed. And with this prayer to our Heavenly Father that He opens up His Word unto us, we can examine this portion. Examine this portion of God's Word. So, in Syria, the king had a strong captain. So this Naaman was a captain of the host of the king of Syria, but he had this illness. He was a leper. He was very renowned and in favor of the king. He has been very successful during his trips waging a war. The Lord had used him as his weapon, saving Syria. He was not successful because he had been so special or so skilled. But we can see the guidance of God here. How God guides the phases of nations, how He gives times of success and times of tribulation. And the Lord had used Naaman as His weapon when saving Syria from the hands of its enemies, as the Bible says here. So God had used Naaman as His weapon. So, all the phases of all nations are even today under the guidance of God. All the phases of us human beings here, all of our intentions are known by God. And we're under such good caretaking here that we won't lose even one hair from our head without God knowing it. So this is how strong and safe and secure the caretaking of God is. Even though there are all kinds of phases, all kinds of uncertainties in the world, but irrespective of this, we can be underneath such a strong hand, underneath such an omnipotent hand. God can make an ill person healthy again, and can make a healthy person ill. We have heard how God has let all kinds of miracles happen on this earth, and how it still is a miracle of God that He nourishes us here every day in our temporal life even. It is not something that we have earned, but it is a good caretaking by God. But there's yet a greater act of taken care in this, that God takes care of us here in his kingdom. Again and again, he uplifts us and carries us, and he has promised to bring us home if we do not reject him ourselves. It's such good prepayment has been done on our behalf, that if that is spent, then God will pay more when he comes back, depicting the greatness of the grace of God. So in this kingdom, all sins are preached forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. So this is the kind of a kingdom of which residents we can be today, and within which we can be taken care of. So this captain of the host of the king was a leper, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." So a small, young, believing child, girl, had been brought there, a child of God, who had this bread of life with her. And this young girl was doing mission work there, and she was preaching that there's such a prophet in Israel. There's such a prophet there that he would recover him of his leprosy. So this captain, Naaman, then thought that that's where I need to go. And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maiden that is of the land of Israel." So asked for a permission from the king to go to Israel, so that he could visit that place where that prophet is. And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So he equipped himself, this captain, for this trip. And he certainly could not guess what kind of a trip this was going to be. He heard the call of this young girl, that he should go to this prophet Elisha in Israel. But he could not guess what it would be. He thought he would have to take plenty of riches with him. 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And Naaman then brought a letter to the king of Israel, which said that, "My servant Naaman, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And this man, Naaman, had not yet understood where he had been invited to, where the invitation had come from. So he went to the king of Israel. And when the king of Israel read that letter, he ripped his clothes. He rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy?" So, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. So the king figured, the king thought here, that this king of Syria is picking a fight with him. And the king of Israel understood that he cannot be God and he cannot heal anybody. But then there was prophet Elisha who heard what had happened. The man of God, hearing that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horse and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." So Elisha requested that this Syrian war captain would be sent to him. And what happened, what followed, was that Naaman then went. And Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. So Naaman went. And the text says here that Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." So Elisha sent a messenger from within his house to come outside and talk to Naaman, and to bring this message that he has to go to the river and wash 7 times. So what did Naaman do? The text tells us here that he got very mad. The text says he was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Jehovah his God and wave his hand over the place and recover the leper." Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. So this man had received an invitation. He was invited. But he got really angry. He had received instructions to get washed in the river, in Jordan. But he thought that the rivers of Damascus, Abana and Pharpar, were much better for this, better waters. Yet, his servants started to talk to him, saying, they came near and spoke unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? So, consequently, Naaman went to the river. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I think of this as follows. Even though a temporal miracle took place here, such a miracle that this captain of the army, Naaman, was able to be healed from his temporal illness, leprosy. I think that this portion of God's word can also speak to us about this, how the worst kind of leprosy, the sickness of sin, is healed, how a person is healed from that. So when we hear an invitation, a call to believe, like this little girl had presented, and that is what initiated everything here, how this captain ended up going to Israel. And I think that this portion of God's word speaks to us also about the sickness of sin and how one is healed from that. How it is entirely an act of God, and there's nothing from a human being in it. But how can a person still view it as cheap, and this cheap form of it is easily rejected, easily not acceptable? Like here, when Naaman went to Israel following the invitation from the sermon of this young girl that you should go there, that you shall be healed there. And every single child of God is doing this kind of mission work and sending this invitation that one should enter the kingdom of God. Because in this kingdom of God, this is a place where people can be healed from the illness of sin, from the leprosy of sin. We become all the way clean here when the gospel word can cleanse us. So this captain, Naaman, departed for Israel. But then, what happened was entirely work of God. And all of us, children of God, we are messengers, I think. Like here, the messenger brought this simple message from the prophet to this captain, that go and wash 7 times in Jordan. So, in a similar way, we, children of God, bring this simple message that uplift your heart to believe. Believe. Unbelief and all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. And how this message tends to be a cheap message, too simple for this world. It is too, the form of this message is too cheap. Hard for a proud person to receive. Hard for someone to receive who thinks that I have something with me that I could offer. So this message has too cheap of a form, and that's what almost happened to this captain, Naaman, when the messenger only told him that all you need to do is dip in the river 7 times and you shall be cleansed. He would have had to believe this word that was spoken unto him, and how today it is so simple, as the Word of God says, that through this dumb sermon we become clean, and how so God will save a person through this dumb, simple sermon. One does not need a lot of understanding, doesn't need understanding or wisdom, only needs to own this through faith, only needs to own this gospel of forgiveness through faith, and we become all the way clean. And that is what was happening to this captain of the Syrian army. He would have only had to believe that go to this river Jordan to get cleansed. And I think here that this river Jordan has a depiction here, or it depicts the river of mercy which flows in the kingdom of God, in which we can cleanse all of our sins away. How this river is flowing so at such a low level, but how the world views this so cheap and does not want to accept it, but how this is a beautiful river for the children of God, because we can put our sins away there and believe our own sins forgiven. And this river of grace gives us strength to believe, to uplift our gaze, to see that once we shall obtain our home in heaven when we carry this faith with us. So Naaman received this instruction through this messenger, but he thought the rivers are better in Syria. That is what tends to happen in our days. Even though our Heavenly Father has given us such good times that we can freely proclaim this gospel of grace through the radio, through internet, we can deliver this message, we can proclaim this message very broadly. But how many people view this as being something much too cheap? And they look for these other rivers which are better than this river of grace. Here the children of God say that we need to believe our own sins forgiven, and that is how we reach our home in heaven. And even little boys and girls can advise this way to heaven, that when we believe our sins forgiven, and these little boys and girls can proclaim these sins forgiven. But many people view this gospel message as being too cheap. So the cheap form just does not appear attractive and acceptable, such as the case was with Naaman. But he was able to humble himself when his servants talked to him, when he spoke to him and explained that had you been given a more difficult task to do and accomplish, you would be doing it. So why don't you, when they give you something more simple like this? And when Naaman humbled himself and he went to dip in the river Jordan 7 times, and when he believed, when he wanted to humble himself and believed what the messenger had said, he became clean. It is the same today, that when God invites a person into his kingdom, when God does this work where he invites people through his word, and if a person humbles himself or herself to receive this message, and this message comes from a child of God saying that you can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, and who humbles himself or herself to receive this with faith will become completely clean, and the leprosy of sin shall be moved away, and a person will become acceptable to heaven. And when Naaman, when he was able to humble himself to this position, how did he feel about that? When he went and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a present of thy servant." So is it not the same thing today, that if even one unbeliever being awakened by God and can humble himself or herself to a position of a person who believes the gospel, the conscience of this person will become clean, and the person will have peace with God, and this person will feel like this is the kingdom of God. That person will not feel like this is some community of Lestadians, or that this is some revivalist movement, but this person will actually feel that this is the kingdom of God of which the Holy Bible speaks of, when the Bible says that there is this kingdom of God on earth. So a person who repents gets this mind, this feeling that this is the kingdom of God. So Naaman said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." This is what a person who believes the gospel feels, that God lives within this flock, and that I want to travel with this flock. I want to travel with these people carrying the cross, following the blood of Christ. This is the mindset a person receives. This is the mindset of a child of God who can live in this kingdom, that this is the kingdom, and I do not want to give up this kingdom ever. So this was with Naaman when he humbled himself. And our text continues here. And I didn't read any further, for this was a long text already. But when Naaman was able to believe his own sins forgiven, he received this will to endeavor with the group of God's children, and he was worried about returning back to Syria, that what will happen when he has to go with the king to the worship of the gods there in Syria. So he was worried about the precious gift of faith on his heart, that how will he preserve this when he has to watch this kind of sinful life in Syria. And that is the worry for a child of God here, that when we live in the midst of this world, that how do we preserve our faith? But we can keep this gift of faith, for the gospel is the power of God, righteousness to all who believe it. And that is our security and our consolation. So to your sisters and brothers, at this moment, you can uplift your own hearts to believe. All sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. You can believe until peace, freedom, and joy of heaven. In this gospel, we have that consolation. Even little boys and girls, you who are in a similar way messengers of this word, but you can, in Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven, until peace, freedom, and joy, you can believe all sins securely forgiven. But you young boys and girls, if you end up having these fights and end up being disobedient, don't be with a bad conscience. For the friend of children wants to be helping you as well. And the same goes to you. Believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. And you, dear young ones, youth, this comfort of the gospel belongs to you too. Even though the world offers everything to you, it tempts you. Look upon the reward. Do not cast your faith away. Because only with this faith will you reach the home in heaven. You, dear young one, you can believe all sins, faults, and failures forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. And this gospel belongs also to an unbelieving person. So if there's anybody listening, even one person who feels like you do not have peace in your heart, that you do not have peace with God, you too have a permission right at this moment to believe. If you hear that God is calling you, that God has awakened you, you can humble yourself to believe unbelief and all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. You can be blessed and secured, and you can start to follow us and the Lord Jesus. And to everyone here at services, you can, with your own address, in those thoughts and feelings in which you've come to the hearing of God's word, you can securely believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood until peace, freedom, and joy of heaven. And my own heart wants the same gospel. Can I believe my sins forgiven? I have the will in my heart to believe and travel with the group of God's children. And I would want to once reach the home in heaven with all of you. Remain believing, all sins forgiven, in Jesus' name and atonement blood. We shall remain in the blessed care of God's word. In Jesus' name, amen.